We're in Matthew chapter 11, verses 1 to 11 this morning. Actually, verses 2 to 11. We're kind of skipping one out. Been looking forward to teaching you this. I love it when we get into these passages with John the Baptist. We had one before. We have this one now. We have another one coming up. And it's so neat to see Jesus and John and the interaction that they have with one another. It starts like this. Now, when John heard in prison about the deeds of Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" It's very interesting, these words. John is in prison. He's been put there by Herod. And he hears what Jesus is doing. He hears all the miracles and everything. But he's not feeling really happy about them all because, of course, he's in prison. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be in prison. And he didn't want to be in prison. And more importantly, he didn't see how this was fulfilling the prophecies of the Messiah, John being in prison and all. And so he sends his disciples to Jesus to say, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect another?" Very, very interesting. It's quite the question coming from John, right? I mean, to me it is. What was John's mission? His mission was to identify the Christ. That was why he came. That was his whole task, to tell people, to reveal to them who the Messiah was. That was all he needed to do. And he did that. Now, what is Jesus doing? Because he certainly isn't doing what John expected him to do. So let me address what's behind the question, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" You see, some of the Jews speculated that there wasn't going to be one Messiah. They speculated that there had to be two Messiahs because they looked at the prophecies and they couldn't see how this could be fulfilled by one guy. How can we have this suffering servant be the Messiah who's going to be put to death and at the same time have a king who will reign forever on the throne of David? How do you resolve that? Some of the people resolved it by saying, maybe there'll be two guys, one who dies and one who reigns. Of course, they didn't factor in that the same guy could die, be raised to life, and then reign. That was not in anybody's playbook, except for God's, of course. So this is what maybe John, who didn't think this before, but maybe saying, maybe I had it all wrong. Maybe, okay, Jesus does one stuff and some other guy will do the rest. And how long do we have to wait for the other guy? Because I'm in prison. So, some prophecies that relate to the situation. A voice cries, "In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken." This was John's job. This is what he came to do. Remember when he starts out, a voice crying in the wilderness, "Make straight." And what did I teach you then? John the Baptist didn't have a shovel. That's right. He didn't have a shovel because it wasn't an earthly kingdom. He wasn't literally preparing the roads for a king. He was spiritually preparing hearts for a king who would have a spiritual kingdom. Very important to understand. Here's what Isaiah said about Jesus. "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer and the tongue of the mute sing for joy." And in another place, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound." And John's going, "Yeah, I know that verse." But John the Baptist was still in prison. See, John's message was about the imminent blessing. The kingdom was coming. There was going to be blessing, but along with the blessing, there was another thing coming. What was it? Judgment. Remember? And he's going to use his winnowing fork, and he's going to burn you like chaff. I can hardly wait. In other words, John's problem was this. if Jesus is the Messiah, why am I still in prison? I've got prophecies here that say those in prison get to go free. It's not working out right. So John's question is one of faith and identity. His faith in who Christ is and who Jesus really is. And it all comes together in this passage. And I just love it. So what does Jesus say to John? We know what John said to Jesus. Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up and the poor have good news preached to them." Wait a minute. I just read that verse in the Old Testament and there's something missing. You want me to go back and show you again? The part about the people in prison being let free, that was gone. Jesus didn't include that in his answer. Sorry, John. Sorry. So Jesus is basically, you know, the answer's there. Here's the prophecy of Isaiah. And here's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is just repeating back that a prophecy of Isaiah. He's repeating it back. The answer's here. It's not hidden. The problem, John, is not with me. The problem lies somewhere else. What did the people see in here? The blind receiving sight, the lame walking, lepers cleansed, deaf hearing, the dead raised up, the poor having the good news preached to them. What's significant about this answer? Jesus is saying, yes, I am the Christ, the one prophesied about in the book of Isaiah. And yes, the blessings are here in the form of miracles, healings, and the preaching of the kingdom. But all that stuff about judgment, it's not coming right now. Jesus' fulfillment of prophecy was not going to match anyone's expectations. Anyone. See, you know, one of the problems that everybody had with Jesus, he just didn't do everything just the way they imagined it would work out. The Pharisees looked at Jesus and saying, well, if you're the Christ, what about this? The disciples, Jesus' own disciples, they expected an earthly kingdom. They missed a whole lot of what he was saying to them. And every time he'd say, I'm going to go down to Jerusalem and die, they'd go, surely not, Lord. I will die before I let that happen. Judas didn't get it. Nobody got it. And what we learn in this passage, Matthew 11, John the Baptist didn't get it either. Nobody got it. And Jesus says, blessed is the one who's not offended by me. I'm not letting you out of prison, John. You're not going free. And we know that he dies there. He dies in prison. That didn't work out right. And we'll get back to that whole concept later on. No matter what blessing or miracles there may be, John, and everybody else, you still need to have faith. John the Baptist needed to have faith. Faith accepts Christ as he is, not an imaginary substitute. I think if I had to broadcast one thing to everybody in Christianity, this would be it. Faith accepts Christ as he is, not an imaginary substitute. A lot of Christians have an imaginary substitute, Jesus. Not the real guy. It's the guy they want him to be, but not who he really is. Faith is required to accept that the Messiah was not as John or others imagined him from reading and their understanding of the Old Testament. And so what Jesus is doing here is reminding John that he didn't have a shovel. There's not going to be an earthly kingdom. Our thinking about Jesus and his kingdom has to come from what Jesus actually said and did, and not from what we imagine he should be and do. That's why when I'll take you down some of those paths and I say, you know, if you were God, Bruce Almighty, right? If you were God, you would do it differently, wouldn't you? And that's why I say, that's why our view of God's wrong. We have these imaginations. Man, if I could make justice happen, I'd change things in the world. I'd do this, that, and the other thing. Wouldn't you? And that just proves your thoughts aren't God's thoughts. Because he has that power and he's not doing it. Okay? So there's some disconnect between who God really is and who you think he should be. This goes on over and over and over all through our lives. Every time you're disappointed with God or life circumstances, guess what's really wrong? Your view of God. It needs more reshaping. So if our thinking about who Jesus is and what his kingdom should be like is not the imaginary one, but the real one, the imaginary one leads to what? It leads to us being demoralized. It leads us to being like John in prison. When's this going to happen, Lord? Things aren't working out right. I don't like my circumstances. Are you sure you're really the Messiah? Those are the questions you will ask with an imaginary Jesus. And you will be disappointed. And you know what? You set yourself up to listen to the wrong kind of people. And we set ourselves up by listening to the wrong kind of people. We want people to tell us this is the way God is, this is the way Jesus is. And when you believe those lies, then you have an imaginary Jesus. You don't have the real one. So let's see what Jesus says. Jesus addresses the crowds concerning John. As they went away, Jesus spoke to the crowds, "What did you go out in the wilderness to see?" Now he's talking about John the Baptist. When you went out in the wilderness, when John the Baptist was out there preaching, what did you go out to see? A reed shaken by the wind? A man dressed in soft clothing? No, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' palaces. What did you go out to see? A prophet. Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. Behold, this is he of whom it is written, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. That was the Isaiah prophecy that I read earlier. Jesus wants the people to know that John the Baptist isn't doubting that Jesus is the Messiah. That's not what's going wrong in John's thinking. He still believes that Jesus is the Messiah. John isn't unstable. He's not a fickle. He's not a reed blowing in the wind. John's problem, you ready for this? John's problem was that he was the last Old Testament prophet. And as such, he didn't see the kingdom with perfect clarity, even as other Old Testament prophets didn't see the kingdom with clarity. Just like everybody reading the Old Testament in Jesus' day didn't see the kingdom with clarity, and that's why they killed Jesus. So Jesus defends John. He reminds people of their feelings when they went to see him in the wilderness. They were excited because God sent them a prophet. They were repenting. They were interested. Everything was coming alive again for them. But John was more than a prophet. In what way was he more than a prophet? He was more than a prophet because he wasn't just giving prophecy. He was prophesied about. He was the answer to prophecy. He was prophesied as one who would come. Something very unusual. John the Baptist came to proclaim God's word to Israel. But he was prophesied as the special prophet who would announce the day of the Lord. He would be the coming Elijah, who was prophesied in a couple of different places. So Jesus speaks to the greatness of John. Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. And get this part. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. John, yeah, great. He's the greatest old covenant prophet. Why? Because more than anyone else, he most clearly identifies Jesus. Isaiah talked about him, but Isaiah didn't say, "Here he is, guys." That was John. John said, "This is the Christ. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." This is the guy. No other Old Testament prophet pointed out Jesus as clearly as John the Baptist did. Not even close. That's what makes him so great. He clearly identifies Jesus as the Messiah. Many in the Old Testament, they speak of the Son of Man, they speak of the Messiah, they speak of the Anointed One, the Christ, the Suffering Servant. But no one like John said, "This is him. He is here. There he is." But Jesus says the least in the kingdom is greater than John. Why? Well, the least in the kingdom can more clearly identify Jesus as the Messiah than even John the Baptist. Right? Can you do a better job than John the Baptist? Yeah. Yeah. You know why? John the Baptist was never in the kingdom. He was still part of the old covenant, the Old Testament system. Anyone truly in Christ's kingdom has a better understanding of the kingdom than John. Or you should, right? If you're in the kingdom. Because what's John doing here? He's still thinking it's an earthly kingdom, isn't he? But you know now that it's a spiritual kingdom. John didn't know that. That's why John is saying, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect another? And Jesus is saying, even the least in the kingdom isn't going to ask me that question. John knew that Jesus was the Christ, but he was still wondering if there was another or what the kingdom would really be like. But we who are in the kingdom know that there is no other, and we know what the kingdom is. And the least person in the kingdom knows that kind of stuff. Well, what does this teach us? If you're in the kingdom, you must be pointing out to others who the king is. Think about that. I mean, it's just logical. If the least in the kingdom can more clearly identify Jesus as king than John the Baptist did, and you're not telling anybody who the king is, then you must not be in the kingdom. That's just logic 101. Those in the kingdom tell others who the king is. It should just be a natural part of your life. To be part of the kingdom, you proclaim the kingdom. Telling others about the king of the kingdom is an element of what it means to be in the kingdom. You can't do it otherwise. If the least in the kingdom points out Jesus better than John, you can't be in the kingdom if you do not do a better job than John. It betrays your lack of knowledge and faith in Christ and the kingdom. If you do not reveal to others who the king is, what makes you think you're in the kingdom? John was the greatest prophet because he most clearly identified Jesus as king. But he still had difficulty fully understanding the king and the kingdom. But the least in the kingdom can more clearly tell others that Jesus is king and that he has a kingdom. The least in the kingdom of God understands more about the kingdom than John the Baptist did. To me, that's great news. Now, I'm not done. One last point. Let your understanding of the kingdom come from Christ. This goes back to what I was saying earlier. Many Christians today still do not fully understand the kingdom of God. That's pretty sad. Why do they not understand the kingdom of God? Answer's pretty simple, actually. They take a lot of their ideas about what the kingdom is supposed to be from the Old Testament prophets. Yeah, the same guys that got it all wrong in the first place. Instead of actually listening to what Jesus says about the kingdom. They think, oh, well, now we know what Jesus says about the kingdom. We can go back and figure out what the Old Testament's really talking about. Wrong. You're still getting it wrong. You still are not going to understand what's going on there. You know, you have Jesus clearly explaining the kingdom to you. Why are you going to try to add to that understanding from prophecies that you don't understand well? Okay? I'm just going to go with what Jesus says the kingdom is. And for me, that's going to be enough. Because when you go in the Old Testament, there's a lot of ways to interpret prophecy. And then there's a lot of ways to interpret it incorrectly. We have a hard enough time just taking the plain words of Jesus straight up and getting them right. Just follow what Jesus said. Jesus said he's the king. He has a kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom. There, you know more than John. In that kingdom, there's one rule, that we love one another sacrificially. That's what he came to establish. That's what he's given to us. That's what we have. That's what we're in. It's enough. Now, we're not done with the book of Matthew, not by a long shot. And we will continue to go through it, Jesus teaching what his kingdom is about. That's why we had the Sermon on the Mount earlier. You have heard it said this in the Old Covenant, in the law, but I tell you, it's this in my kingdom. The contrast to the whole book of Matthew is this. Take your understanding of Jesus and his kingdom, not from the Old Testament prophets or prophecies that are hard to understand. Take it from the clear words of Jesus that are easy to understand. Then you'll get it right, and you won't make mistakes.